You don't have more time, you don't have more money, and you don't have more resources. But what you do have is a changed mindset. Lack of time or resources has never been our main issue. It's a lack of priority.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you. Hey guys, it's Eric. Thank you again for listening to the Super You podcast. Today's a special edition. As you know, we've been doing this day after day, just giving you clips from my new book, The Focus Project. Got the idea from J.K. Rowling, and I think it's the right thing to do. Just give it away for free and clips on this show because so many of us are struggling and wrestling. Now that you're homeschooling, you're working from home, there's just all these extra demands, and it's mentally tough for us to focus on the big versus being busy all the time. So again, special edition. If you want to go back, so if you're just jumping in and hearing this for the first time, we're labeling this number one, number two, number three, and so forth. So it'll make sense for you today because I wrote the book in a modular format. So you can definitely listen to today. It'll make sense in its entirety, just this segment. But if you want to go back and listen from the front to the end, we're labeling them number one, number two, number three to make it easy on you. Thanks for making the book a number one release on Amazon. We can't do it without you, so I really, really, really am grateful for all of your support. So without further ado, here's today's Super You podcast. I will not come down from this wall. Whether you're a religious or non-religious person, there is a story dating back to 444 BC that can help us. At the time, the king of Persia was Artaxerxes. To ensure the king wasn't poisoned, a designated wine taster called the cupbearer was on hand. Artaxerxes' cupbearer was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was much more than the standard cupbearer. He was also a friend and an official, very similar to a president's chief of staff today. Nehemiah was painfully aware that the city of Jerusalem was in a rough state. The walls had been destroyed and the gates burned. Any strong warlord who wanted to enter and steal could do so at will. Nehemiah watched the state of affairs from afar, and on the day he couldn't take it any longer, he took a big risk. While Nehemiah and the king were indeed close confidants, Nehemiah was still a slave who could neither take time off nor approach the king for a favor. Nehemiah prayed long and hard for the courage to ask King Artaxerxes if he could take some time off to go help his people in the city of Jerusalem. Artaxerxes benevolently replied that he could not only grant Nehemiah the time off, but he would make him the mayor of Jerusalem, called governor of Judea at the time, on the condition that once Nehemiah completed his work in Jerusalem, he would return to the side of Artaxerxes. When he arrived in the city, Nehemiah's heart sank. The city was in worse shape than he thought, not only physically, but psychologically. He concluded that they needed to rebuild the wall around the city to give the people protection and a sense of pride. Rebuilding Jerusalem was a huge undertaking. Nehemiah gathered everyone in the city, invited people from surrounding cities, and laid out the plan for a singular focus. The focus was to rebuild the wall. There are no miracles in this story. It's just an incredible story of one man with one unrelenting focus rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah pulled everyone together and said, number one, here's the problem. Number two, here's the solution, i.e. a wall. Number three, here's why we need to do it now, i.e. build the wall. He rallied the city around these three simple statements. Although this was a huge job, everyone was excited about it, and they began making progress. Those outside the city walls weren't excited about it. Many viewed a strong Jerusalem as a potential threat. The person with the loudest voice against the rebuilding of the wall was Sanballat. He sent in spies to start rumors and actively discourage people from building the wall. When that didn't work, he sent armies to attack the people working on the wall. While Sanballat's actions were causing problems and slowing progress, Nehemiah stayed steadfast on the wall. The wall continued to grow higher and higher. Sanballat then planned to kill Nehemiah. Without Nehemiah, the rest of the workers would become discouraged. Sanballat's forces sent Nehemiah a letter asking him to join them at the village Chapirim. Nehemiah realized that Sanballat and his men planned to harm him and responded poignantly to Sanballat. I'm doing a great work here and cannot come down. This sentence is so extraordinarily powerful. Think about the most important position, responsibility entrusted to you, the one that keeps pulling at you whenever you have a quiet moment of reflection. Perhaps you've dabbled in it and then put it aside. Imagine if you simply echoed Nehemiah's words, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. The thought of being as focused and dedicated as Nehemiah should flush us with excitement. For example, if an email requested something from me, the response could be immediate. I'm heads down on finishing my latest book. I apologize, but I can't take on anything outside of this right now. I hope you understand. This is my version of Nehemiah's, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. Think about what your version would be and pay attention to how good the prospect of doing this makes you feel. Nehemiah continued with his response. I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Sanballat's group sent four different types of messages attempting to convince Nehemiah to come down. But each time Nehemiah sent a similar response, not so far removed from what we deal with daily in our barrage of emails. While people today aren't trying to kill us, they're trying to kill our time. Had Nehemiah not remained focused on rebuilding the wall and instead come down to meet with Sanballat's men, they would have taken his life. What's important for us to consider is that not focusing on and not caring for our goals can potentially ruin our happiness and in some instances, ruin our lives. So yes, there is more golf you could play, more movies you could watch, more money you could chase, more fame you could pursue, more times you could go out late with your girlfriends and buddies. But you need to understand you're doing a great work. For many of us, this starts with our friends and family. So when you see your boyfriend, girlfriend, kids, or spouse, say to yourself, I'm doing a great work here. Nehemiah's enemies didn't give up. They started a rumor that Nehemiah was building the wall with the intent of becoming king of Judea and starting his own empire against King Artaxerxes. The rumor mongers thought this would trick Nehemiah into leaving the wall to defend himself. But Nehemiah did not do this. Instead, he simply said, I'm not coming down from this wall. Next, his friend Shemaiah, or at least he thought he was his friend, came to see him and said, Nehemiah, you know you have enemies in the city itself. Many merchants here make their living trading with people outside of the city walls, and they're afraid that the rebuilt wall might discourage trade. There is a plan to murder you in your sleep, Nehemiah. We must go to the altar for your safety. Nehemiah simply said, I don't believe you. I'm not coming down from this wall for rumors of murder in my sleep, other opportunities for fear of the king. Nothing is going to take me from this wall. I'm doing a great work here and will remain. Because of Nehemiah's focus, he and his forces completed the wall in 52 days. To rebuild a wall of this size so quickly, after it had been lying in rubble for hundreds of years, astounded nations and Nehemiah's enemies alike. When they saw the completed wall, they lost their confidence. We already know what our walls are and the forces that take us down from our walls. For some of us, it's too much TV. For others, the overuse of social media. Some of us drink too much, are addicted to video games, or watching people play video games, poker, fantasy sports, gossiping. Some of us chase too many opportunities at once, and some get pulled into the family drama. Whatever the pull to come down from our wall, staying on it is our challenge. Your great work can be focusing on your family, finishing your screenplay, going back to school, starting your company, getting out of a bad relationship, paying down your debt and getting your finances in order, finishing the project that will take your business to the next level, volunteering more time at your favorite nonprofit, learning a language, living a healthy lifestyle so that you will be around to see your great-grandchildren, training for a marathon, etc., etc. Whatever it might be, this is the time to stop pretending. This is the time to climb the ladder and stay on your wall in the full knowledge that staying on the wall is never easy. The book in your hands is a guide to help keep us on our wall. Like you, I'm tempted every day to come down from my wall. For example, my goal for this book was to write every day. This was my wall for the past year. But invariably, life happened, and I would go days without writing a single word or even thinking about this book. Think about that. I was knee-deep in focus, but I kept getting pulled down from my wall. As the months progressed, I got better and better at focusing, for I was training my mind, body, and soul to stay on my wall. When you climb the ladder and get on your wall, nothing outside has changed. You don't have more time, you don't have more money, and you don't have more resources. But what you do have is a changed mindset. Lack of time or resources has never been our main issue. It's a lack of priority. Everyday distractions beckon us. But like Nehemiah, we need to simply say, I'm doing a great work here, and I'll not come down from this wall. Seeing your goals matters. On July 4th, 1952, Florence Chadwick was on her way to becoming the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel. As the world watched, Chadwick fought the dense fog, bone-chilling cold, and sharks. She was exhausted. But if she could just see the shore, she'd be able to push through. Every time she looked through her goggles, all she could see was dense fog. Unable to see the shore, she gave up. She was only half a mile from the coast, but had no idea. She quit not because she was a quitter, but because she couldn't see her goal anymore. If only I had seen the land, I could have made it, she said. 2 months later, she went back and swam the Catalina Channel. This time, in spite of the numerous challenges, there was no fog. She could see the shore. She could see her goal. As she strode ashore, someone informed her that she'd beaten the men's record by 2 hours. It's important to make our goals and desired destinations visible. My hope is that you're reaching your shore and staying on your wall each and every day. Just stay focused. It's hard to do in this unfocused world, but I hope this podcast helped you today. Again, this is a special version of the Super You podcast. It's just a sample of a reading from my new book, The Focus Project. Thank you so much for making it the number one release on Amazon. Feel free to give it to a friend today. Post it forward. Give it to that friend that you're thinking about. But until next time, this is Equal Man reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you.